like that verse in Psalms 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
And also in Exodus 14, fear ye not, stand still and see salvation of the Lord.
Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Yeah.
And what did Mary do? Remember what Mary did? She sat still, didn't she? She heard his word. So it's what we're called to do. It's what we naturally don't do. And it wasn't my mind, you know, that we quit at verse I gave for the public reading, but I'm looking at verse 18 and the 19.
Chuck, sorry. I'm going to cut you off there. No. There's one thing that they were required to do.
Okay.
Faith. Mm-hmm. Faith to believe God's word that he would bring about the victory.
And it's so easy a victory with the Lord on your side. They didn't even have to fight. It's just so comforting to know that the Lord's on your side. Who can be against us?
Well, I could also add that patience is another thing, and this is and patience is one thing that I would never choose to teach myself, and it is the Lord, only the Lord, that could teach me patience. And it is through circumstances where he tells me to wait. We were talking in devotions last night. I'd much rather hear a yes or a no than a wait. But the only way the Lord would teach me this virtue is through circumstance where he specifically tells me to stand still.
Okay. I was just going to say, Joe, I think that what you're saying brings out itself in expression of the word tomorrow. Because I want today.
Sure.
I want now. God says my time is tomorrow. And I don't think we have very much the patience, indeed, to wait for tomorrow. Because it's just too long. Too long. But God says tomorrow. And my timing is always perfect.
Let me give these verses, if I could, and we can balance our time. I certainly think there's that which we need to see in verse 18. And there's that which we need to see in verse 19. And I think especially of verses 24, 25. That we have 25 minutes or so left and see the greatness of what God has done. He has said in verse 17, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Much to be said, I would hope, there, of worshiping this one. We're going to get in the next verse, they praised him. But here's the adoration of heart to him for who he is, isn't it? In real worship of the people of God.
Just in verse 17, I think we left out the phrase, the salvation of the Lord who is with you, or with you. And that's just, he gives even more
personal
comfort and encouragement that they're not standing there by themselves. The battle's the Lord's, and the Lord is with you there. So there's nothing to fear. It's in his hands, and he's in control.
Tony?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I wanted to just touch on what John was saying, both Johns, is that this thought of faith is so important because, as you mentioned, the presence of the Lord. You know, why is it that we have such difficulty in accepting God at his word? It's because we really lack the faith in believing that God can do what he says he will do. Do we recognize that the presence of the Lord is with us? God has to say these things to his people here because they have often defaulted or deferred to their own human thoughts and devices. But it's not common for us to wait. It's not common for us to exercise faith and patience, because we're people that, you know what, Adam thought that they could he could take things into his own hands. He didn't accept God at his word. And so here's this battle now. It's very easy to say, let me sharpen my knife and my bow, and let me get the armor, and let me get the people together. But it's when we come and we recognize that the power is of God and not of us, and we are able to have the faith in God and take him at his word, that we can be like Jehoshaphat. Because I believe that this activity where he bows his face to the ground is an acknowledgement. First, it's his head with his face to the ground. It's a sign of humility. It's a sign of recognizing that God is in control. There's absolutely nothing for me to think about any longer. I need simply to accept God at his word. I believe the worship here is in anticipation of what God is going to do. God has said it, it's settled, and now we need simply to follow God's instructions. And it's not often that easy to do.
But to Jehoshaphat, it was as if it is already done.
That's right.
There's the verse in Psalms, I'm not sure where it is, before you call, I will answer. It is God's word. God's word is already established, and I could bank on it, because if he said it, it's going to be done. It is already done in his counsel.
Now, can I follow that with some conversation with a sister last night? Where would the Lord bring us to from readings like this? I'm not there yet. I don't want to tell any of you that I am. But I would love to be to the place where when I pray about something and someone else asks me about it, I can say, I've prayed about it and I'm leaving it there. What we do most of the time is we pray about it and we take it back. And we pray about it and we take it back. And we cast it on the Lord. And we take it back.
We want to help him.
We want to help him, and or we think somehow he didn't hear me the first time, and now somehow I'm going to add something to this by fretting over it, by worrying about it, by becoming exasperated. And this is what prayer is. Prayer recognizes I have committed it to God, and by faith I own that that matter is now his. I'd say we probably all need much help in that, don't we? And here, I think you're right. He's worshiping the Lord on the basis of what is going to take place. And by faith, he knows this is going to happen. He's not questioning God how God's going to do this. Lord, how are you going to bring all this about? There's no thought of that. He worships because of what will be.